Well, hello once again, Grace Powell Church. Again, thank you so much for choosing to worship with us on this Christmas Eve 2020. Special thanks to Pastor Bob and our worship team, all the people behind the scenes who made this service possible. This evening on Christmas Eve, I want to talk about the story of hope. So would you join me in prayer as we ask God to bless this message? Father God, thank you so much for this time of year that we can celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Father, we know that he was born ultimately to die on behalf of the world's sins. And Father, we're so grateful that he gave us that gift, that not only did he die for sins of mankind, but he also resurrected from the grave. He overcame death and he provided the gift of eternal life. I pray for each of us this evening that we would do some soul searching, that we would evaluate if we truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that this story of hope would be an encouragement to everybody who is watching this online. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, let's face it, 2020 has been a very rough year. Matter of fact, last week, Time Magazine dubbed 2020 as the worst year ever. And if you read the article, they had several reasons why. Obviously, the main reason was COVID-19. Literally, this virus shut down the world. It shut down schools, obviously. It shut down work. It even shut the church's doors. Sports were canceled. On top of sports being canceled, businesses have closed permanently. Graduations didn't take place. Family vacations were postponed. And even recently, Thanksgiving for a lot of families did not happen. But on top of COVID-19, 2020 will also be remembered as a year of social unrest. There was all kinds of senseless murders, all kinds of senseless prejudice and racism, a lot of hate, and that poured out into the streets with protests and riots and looting. On top of those two reasons why Time Magazine labeled 2020 the worst year ever, there was a third reason they gave, and that's because obviously the politics and the division of a fractured America. And we have proven in the beginning of the year with the impeachment, followed by the end of the year with the election, that United States of America is not united. Instead, we are indignantly divided. We are passionately divided. And we have revealed that this year. On top of this, obviously, it's been a financial hardship for many people. Many people have lost their jobs. Matter of fact, in March, the stock market crashed, and there was 3 days in March where record-setting days of the single most point drop in the history of our nation. And on top of this, we had to worry about wildfires. This year, there's been unprecedented overactivity with hurricanes. And believe it or not, in 2020, we even had to worry about 2-inch killer hornets. I think Time Magazine is right. I think for at least in our lifetime, 2020 has been the worst year ever. Now, with that being said, let's take a moment just to relax, right? I never thought a year ago I would ever, ever have to wear a mask to go into a bank. I mean, that's just mind-blowing. And if you would have told me that a year ago, I wouldn't have believed you, right? I never thought in the year 2020 that drive-by birthdays would be a thing. I never thought I would ever, ever say these words. I really enjoyed your Zoom wedding. And I never thought a year ago that we would ever have a shortage of toilet paper, right? Washington Post this past week reminded all of its readers that every year historians try to pick one word to summarize the year. And this year, they admitted that this is almost impossible. It's impossible to summarize the year with one word. So they asked their readers if they would suggest words to summarize the year 2020. Over 2,000 readers participated, and these are some of the top responses that they received. Exhausting, one reader said. Lost. Broken is the word someone chose. Chaotic. Relentless. Heartbreaking. A nightmare, or simply the word ugh, right? But it's ironic to me because in this year where 2020 is some ways hard to describe, in the year 2020, there were many words that were added to our dictionary. And there's certain words and certain phrases that they're telling us we will never forget for the rest of our lifetime that came into focus in the year 2020. For instance, social distancing takes on new meaning. Contact tracing is another phrase that will always be remembered as taking place in 2020. The phrase uncertain times, I know personally I've used over and over. Zoom brings on a new meaning for you and I in the year 2020. What about this phrase? How many times have you used this? The new normal or essential workers. Or here's a phrase that we didn't talk at all about in 2019, but we say all the time, flatten the curve. What about remote learning or the word lockdown? Or my personal favorite, these words will be remembered for the rest of our lives. Ready? Tiger King. But here's my point, right? Out of all that's happened in 2020, one word that will not characterize the year 2020 is the word hope. Matter of fact, I believe that in these dark days that we have been living in these unprecedented times that we have been living in these tough times, we have been longing for hope. We have been looking for hope. But for most of the people in our world, hope has been lost. Matter of fact, I just read that this past week, the CDC reported that in the United States, more overdose drug deaths have occurred than ever before. People are losing hope. In the last part of November, Cleveland.com reported that the number one cause of death among kids ages 10 to 14 is now suicide. And my reason for sharing this is because as we have faced all the different things we have faced this year, from COVID-19 to social unrest, to the protests, to the looting, to the political division, to the wildfires, to the hornet bees, all of these things that have happened in this year has really caused us to question our own hope. Matter of fact, we've become hopeless. We've become frustrated. We've become angry. We've become depressed. And hope is lost. So here's my question tonight on Christmas Eve. How do we find hope? In a time when we need hope more than anything else, in a time where we are looking forward to hope, or we are looking for hope, or desiring hope, where do we go to find it? And I suggest to you, it's in the Christmas story. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Let me read this for you. In verse 8, it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" So just for a moment, let me talk about the shepherds. Who were the shepherds? Well, these guys in the first century, they were not very popular. Matter of fact, they were outcasts of society. They were at the bottom of the social ladder. Matter of fact, they could not even testify in court because they were uneducated. They were unskilled. They were dishonest. They didn't have the greatest character. Yet God chose these men to receive the birth announcement, the first birth announcement of Jesus, the Messiah, God's son. Notice what the angel said specifically to these shepherds. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Again, put yourself just for a moment in the shepherd's shoes. Think about it. These guys were always being judged. People always assumed that they were crooked. People were always assuming that they're up to no good. People considered them ceremonial unclean because they couldn't participate in any of the religious things. Yet God sent an angel to tell these guys not to be afraid. He said, this is not a message of judgment. This is not an announcement that should discourage you. This is not something that should frustrate you. This should bring your life hope. Notice after saying, do not be afraid, the angel said to the shepherds, I'm bringing you today good news. This is good news that I want to share with not only you as shepherds, but this good news is for all people. And just for a moment, I just want to ask this question. What news do you consider good? What news specifically causes you joy? Well, for people in Columbus, Ohio, we just learned on Sunday that the Buckeyes are one of the four teams that will be in the college playoffs. And for a lot of our people, that news caused great joy for them. Obviously, this past week, we learned that there's a COVID-19 vaccine, and not only are the healthcare workers receiving this, and not only are they receiving it, but so are the elderly. And for some people, this news has caused great joy. It was just announced actually yesterday that we should be receiving a second stimulus. And this news has brought a lot of people perhaps joy. I want to talk about the news that was shared to the shepherds. They weren't talking about a football team, obviously. They weren't talking about a vaccine or a stimulus package. No, the good news that they were talking about that was going to cause great joy for all people was found in verse 11. The Bible says this, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. You see, the good news that the angels were talking about was a Savior has been born, and notice the emphasis, to you. I want you to think about that for a moment. The news that was going to cause great joy for all people is a personal news of hope. It's good news of hope for you. I love Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Joseph was getting an explanation from the angel as to what was going on with his soon-to-be wife. And the angel was explaining to Joseph that the son that Mary and him were going to have was a supernatural, a miracle child. It was Jesus. But notice the emphasis of what was being said. She will give birth to a son, not just any son, but you're going to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save people from their sins. Let me ask a really simple question. Why is Jesus the Savior, the greatest news that all of us could ever receive? It's because we are in desperate need for someone to take away our sins. John said it best in chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 29. It says, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and John said, look, the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. I want you to think about this just for a moment. Why is this so important for you and I to understand tonight on Christmas Eve? Because Christmas is about Jesus leaving heaven. Jesus, as God, put on human flesh, and he was born as a baby in a manger. But don't mistake it. Jesus came to a manger so ultimately he would die on a cross. Jesus was born to die. He came here to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrifice for our sins, to make us right with God. And the plan of God was that Jesus would go to a cross, that he would shed his innocent and perfect blood on our behalf, that he would die for our sins, and he would take our punishment that we deserved. The Bible says that after he died on the cross, he went to the grave, and 3 days later, he defeated death. He overcame death. He came back to life, And Jesus and Jesus alone is the only one who can give us eternal life. My friends, that is good news. That good news should cause us to be joyful despite our circumstances. That good news is not just for all people. That good news is for you. I want to end my message with this evening. I want you to think about just for a moment of all the things that you put your hope in. I was thinking about this past week, and I thought about the last time that I went on a plane. You remember how sometimes you get a little bit nervous when you get onto a plane? But what you're doing in that moment is you're putting your hope into that plane, right? You're putting your hope into the pilot. You're putting your hope that everything's going to work on that plane. You're putting your hope that the guy who's responsible put fuel in the plane did his job. You're putting hope in something that is really outside of your control. But when you think about it, we put our hope in all kinds of things. Like for instance, yesterday I went to Chipotle. I put my hope in that worker, making sure that they made that chicken exactly the way the store requires them to make that chicken. That everything there is clean. I put my hope that I wasn't going to get sick after I ate Chipotle. I know that's a great hope, right? But as parents, what do? We put our hope in a bus driver. When we drop our kids off and we put them on a bus, we hope that that bus driver is not going to harm our child. We hope that they'll get off that bus, that they'll walk into that school, that they'll get to the right class, that somehow they'll get back on that bus and be safe as they come home. And my point is this, we put our hope in so many things. This past week when the vaccine showed up, Governor DeWine said this, and they recorded this on the cameras, and this is his quote as he looked at the vaccine that was delivered. He said, and I quote, "This is hope." He said, "Hope has arrived." But friends, can I just remind you that hope, true hope, has arrived 2,000 years ago. Hope came in the form of a baby in a manger. Hope lived a sinless, perfect life. Hope died on the cross for our sins. Hope resurrected from the grave. Hope offers us the gift of eternal life. See, here's the thing that I think COVID-19 has taught me. COVID-19 has made all of us aware that we can catch a virus. COVID-19 has made all of us painfully aware that at some point, that this virus perhaps could kill us. But here's the truth. Even though we could catch the virus, not all of us are gonna die. Matter of fact, the odds of us dying from this virus are still extremely, extremely low. But we're thinking about this virus that has the potential to kill us. Do you know the fact of the matter is all of us have a virus? A spiritual virus, we're all affected by a spiritual virus, and we will die. There's not a chance we will die from this virus. No, we will die from this virus. That's what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, sin is a spiritual virus that will 100% kill us. But look at what it says. Here's the hope. Here's the story of hope. But the gift of God is eternal life. You see, God knew there was no way we could erase our sin. God knew there was no way we could eliminate our sin. There wasn't any human vaccine to remove our sin. At some point, all of us will pass from this life to the next. So God, out of his love, out of his grace, out of his faithfulness, he gifted us with the gift of eternal life. And there's only one way to receive this gift of eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so here's the question, as you put your hope in a plane, for an example, or you put your hope perhaps in a football team, or you put your hope in a stimulus package, or you put your hope in a vaccine, the main question is this: have you put your hope in the living God who is the Savior of all people? The Bible says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, look what the Bible says, you will be saved. And so my friends, in a year that has been like no other year, in a year where we have been scared and afraid and we have lost hope, I'm here to tell you that there is hope, and it's in a person called Jesus. Jesus is God. He loves you. He came to this earth to die for you, and he offers you the free gift of eternal life. The question is, will you put your hope in him? Will you trust him? Will you believe in him? And then the Bible says it's simply by faith. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't made that decision right there in your home, in the quietness of the moment, you can talk to God and he will hear you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. The Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 10, 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean? That means that Jesus is God. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Look at the promise, you will be saved. Would you make that decision right now? Would you make that decision right now? In your heart, talk to God, express your faith, your belief to God, and he will give you hope. His name is Jesus. I would love to hear about the decision you made. Would you let us know? I would love to hear an email from me. You can call our church office at the end of the service. I'll even give you something you can text so that we can learn about this decision that you made. We want to celebrate with you. God bless you on Christmas Eve. Let me close our time in prayer. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this time that we can spend in your word. Lord, we celebrate the hope that you have provided for us in Jesus Christ. I pray for my friends that if they've not made this life-changing decision, I pray, Father God, that they would make it today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.